JC Corcoran Podcast.
Dead, dead, dead. Someday you'll be dead. Dead, dead, dead. Someday we'll all be dead. The minute we're born, we start dying. We die a little more every day. Young or old, rich or poor, there's nothing we can do to stop it. So look long at that Christmas tree. It may be the last one that you see. Decorate your house in green and red, 'cause someday you'll be dead. Dead, dead, dead. Someday you'll be dead. Dead, dead, dead. Someday we'll all be dead. It might happen in a couple months or 50 years from now, but no matter when it happens, it will seem too soon to you. Sure, on Christmas Eve, when you snuggle into bed, that you thank God for your family, 'cause someday they'll be dead. Dead, dead, dead. Someday they'll be dead. Dead, dead, dead. Someday we'll all be dead. Who knows how many Christmases are left in their short life? Nobody knows, that's my point. Enjoy them while you can. And so on Christmas morning, let good tidings fill your head. What a festive season. Someday you'll be dead. Dead, dead, dead. Someday we'll be dead. Dead, dead, dead. Everyone you know dead. A very merry Christmas to you. Dead, dead.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Thursday, December 9th, 2021, 334 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. It is JC. How you doing? Hey, normally I would hold on to this story for at least a couple of minutes or maybe tease it or something, but I just love this story. This is my favorite story of the week. You know, you have all these smash and grabs, and I mentioned this last week, and I got some very odd reactions from people who, I guess, were surprised that I took this dim view of things. And it's just basically working off numbers. And the numbers basically say that if you try to rob a bank, you're going to probably get $2,000 or $3,000. That's the average take in bank robberies over the last 10 years or so. People think that people are walking out of banks with millions of dollars, and the banks are hip to this whole thing, and so they've changed their policies over the years, and there's never really that much money floating around outside in the places where you are. There might be some stuff in the vault of much more value, but the actual stuff that you're going to get in a take at a bank robbery is probably going to be $2,000-$3,000. You tried to rob a bank and then run out of the place, and the bank dick is going to try and shoot you, okay, for $2,000 or $3,000. These smash and grabs, these guys are walking out of here with like $200,000-$400,000 worth of stuff, more than that in some cases. And yet, when I suggested that maybe we should take a shot at some of these guys, because I'm just speaking from a logical standpoint, okay? It's not even my opinion or anything. I'm just logic. If you're going to have a situation at a bank where somebody steals $3,000 in a bank robbery, and it's commonplace that that person would get shot at, well, then why not the other way? I mean, if you're going to rob a place of, you know, exponentially higher amounts of money, in the shape of, you know, Louis Vuitton bags, well, then why do we have this rule that you can't shoot at these guys? And somebody brought up insurance and stuff like that, but I don't know. I tell you the whole story, though, because some group of idiots in Los Angeles smashed their car into a jewelry store on Sunday to steal stuff from the display window. They didn't realize that the place sold all costume jewelry. They caused up to $20,000 in damage. The jewelry they stole was worth about $200. I'm getting a little freaked out by this 3D stuff. Now, I'm very impressed by how you can build a house now with 3D. Maybe you get bladder cancer and you have to take your bladder out. What are you going to do? You make a 3D copy of your bladder and they use that and they put that in your body. So all that stuff is amazing. It's incredible. I don't know about 3D printed steaks. They're now being served in restaurants in Europe and they might come to the U.S. as the latest non-meat meat. I don't think so. And by the way, I've tried that Impossible Burger at Burger King, and if nobody told me that it was plant-based and that it wasn't real meat, I probably wouldn't have realized it. So that's pretty impressive, too. 49-year-old homeless man arrested for burning down the Fox News Christmas tree in Manhattan, despite the fact that several of the hosts on Fox News started blaming, quote-unquote, the left. No word on his motive, but he has prior arrests for drug possession and public intoxication. All right, it's the end of the year, so all this data is coming out now from Google. Yesterday, they released their year-end searches in various categories. For example, in people, Simone Biles at 5 as the 5th most searched person, Travis Scott at 4, Alec Baldwin, Tiger Woods, and Kyle Rittenhouse, number 1. Actors, Armie Hammer, find that difficult to believe, at number 5. Shailene Woodley is in there. Pete Davidson at 2. Alec Baldwin is number 1. Who's got to look up who Alec Baldwin is? Are we that separated from millennials and Gen Xers and, you know, people born this afternoon that they don't know who Alec Baldwin is? Celebrities searched together at number 5, Taylor Swift and Jake Gyllenhaal. Kanye is in there, Kim Kardashian, Pete Davidson at 3. Bill and Melinda Gates at number 2, Kim and Kanye at number 1. Movies, Dune at 5, Mortal Kombat, Halloween Kills, Eternals, and Black Widow at number 1. TV shows, Cobra Kai at 5, Ginny and Georgia on Netflix, WandaVision on Disney, Bridgerton is number 2, and Squid Game, obviously, number 1. Athletes, Aaron Rodgers at 5, Odell Beckham Jr., Henry Ruggs III, Simone Biles, Tiger Woods, number 1. And sports teams, Atlanta Braves, Phoenix Suns, Milwaukee Bucks, Lakers at 2, Boston Red Sox at number 1. Forbes released their 18th annual list of the most powerful women. Mackenzie Scott, the ex-wife of Jeff Bezos, at number 1. Kamala Harris, Melinda French Gates, the ex-wife of Bill Gates, Nancy Pelosi at 15, Oprah, Rihanna, Queen Elizabeth, Reese Witherspoon at 74, Beyonce at 76, Taylor Swift, Serena Williams at number 85. If you like Mayim Bialik and Ken Jennings and you like Jeopardy, good for you. They're going to continue to share the hosting duties on Jeopardy through next July. I'm starting to do videos again on social media, on Facebook, and from time to time we will be speaking to you on Facebook. We may do it every day. I'm not sure. I posted the first one last night. People like the background stuff, but that's a whole nother story. But I learned last week, and again, this is not my opinion. I'm not juggling numbers. This isn't some gobbledygook that I threw together because I have a creative, fertile mind. I got a call from my web guy, and he goes, "Congratulations." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "The podcast you're doing is in the top 10% of all podcasts in the country." That was my reaction, too. I'm like, what? Top 10%? And it's like a lot of things. There's a lot of people doing podcasts out there where they've got, 10 people listening, 37 people. That is the overwhelming majority of people doing podcasts. You're just getting a handful of followers. And then you get Joe Rogan and all those people who get, millions and millions of people listening. We don't have anything like that. But as you probably suspected, like a lot of things, it's the haves and the have-nots. It's the haves and the have-nots. No, it's not eggnog. It's just me this early. So when you're talking about the podcast world, yeah, it's either you got a handful of listeners or you've got a shitload of listeners. There's no middle ground. And somehow we have ended up in the top 10%. And for that, I thank you. And now, as I said last night, let's really go. Let's see if we can jack this thing up and get even. Let's try getting the top 5%. Why not, right? Oh, and thank you for all the kind comments about the picture that I posted of my daughter. It's, you know, doing this stuff all again at my age. It's pretty funny, though. But my daughter now is in sixth grade, and she started playing the trumpet in the school band, and they had a little Christmas concert where sixth, seventh, and eighth graders, you know, all got together and put on a little Christmas show. And they all had to wear, you know, the sort of uniform, you know, the black skirt and the white top. And I posted the picture the other night on the way to the concert, and people are just gushing about how pretty she is. And as I have always said, thank you very much. That is important to me. It's, you know, every parent wants to think that their child is the nicest and the sweetest and the prettiest and the most polite. And that's really what it comes down to for us. I'm happy for her, and it's nice that she is good looking, but without her personality, without her kindness, without her consideration for other people, politeness is a really, really big deal for us. I take her through the Starbucks drive-thru, and I don't drink coffee, so I know nothing about that whole Starbucks world other than the fact that about 4 days a week I get dragged there. And I let her do the ordering, and she'll lean out of the car window and put in her order, and, you know, it's please and it's thank you, and we pull up to the window to actually get the damn coffee, and these people lean out the window and go, "Your daughter is so polite." And I always point at Francesca's face, and I go, "See that tooth that's missing? That's from when she wasn't polite once." People don't know what to make of me. And speaking of Christmas,
Santa works all day in his workshop, making a lot of games and toys. Then one day he hops in his sleigh to bring them to the girls and boys. Santa's just as nice as he could be. There's just one f***ing thing that worries me. If it doesn't snow on Christmas, how's Fatass gonna use that sleigh? In case of rain, would there be a train that'll speed him on his way? If it doesn't snow this Christmas, how's Fatass get around to us? Say he breaks down on his way to town, would they let him use a bus? I sent them a nice long letter, and I hope it's not in vain. I really would feel much better if the fat fuck flew a plane. Now they say he got a reindeer for the sleigh he's driving here. But how the fuck's he go if it doesn't snow on Christmas this year? Take it, boys. Ah, that's so pretty. Wonderful, f***ing wonderful. I sent them a nice long letter, and I hope it's not in vain. I really would feel much better if the fat f*** flew a plane. Now they say he got a reindeer for the sleigh he's driving here. But how the f*** he go if it doesn't snow on Christmas this year? All right, I got a treat for you. Listen to these kids. Are they great? Beautiful, beautiful. This kid's great or what? Ah, they're wonderful ones. Watch your mouth, your mothers might be listening now. That's very sweet. Terrific, kids, terrific. You're just great. Everybody come over here. You did a great job, and I got candy for everybody. All right, which one of you little f***ing stole all the f***ing candy canes? Ah, nice, nice kids. Where'd you get them from, a f***ing jail? F***ing reform school brats. Get the f*** out of here, all of you.
I interviewed Joe Pesci once, and he was like the nicest, most gentle, sort of quiet, almost borderline shy guy, and it really threw me off. I mean, it took me a couple of minutes to realize this guy is nothing at all like the characters he plays, and that happens so often in the entertainment world where you meet somebody and it's like they're nothing like you were anticipating, and you got to adjust. We ever going to have a female James Bond? I know they were talking about it for a while. Well, James Bond producer Barbara Broccoli says the next 007 can be any race or ethnicity as long as he's a British man. And it won't be a woman because, and here's the quote, "I believe in making characters for women and not just having women play men's roles," end quote. Bunch of TV stuff that may or may not grab your attention. Well, you got a Thursday night football game, Minnesota hosting Pittsburgh in that game. This is this HBO Max thing with Sarah Jessica Parker, Cynthia Nixon, Kristen Davis. No word yet on how they're handling the absence of Kim Cattrall's character Samantha, since she refused to return. The girls were on with Stephen Colbert the other night, and they wouldn't give it up. They wouldn't tell anybody anything. Anyhow, HBO Max, Sex and the City sequel called And Just Like That, and that is starting today. Late Night, Miley Cyrus and Pete Davidson on with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got Will Forte. Michael B. Jordan on with Colbert. James Corden, California Governor Gavin Newsom. He's got a new book. And Seth Meyers is Tom Holland. This was weird. Did you see this last night? They showed a little clip on some of the entertainment shows. One of those online masterclass things that you've been hearing about. Hillary Clinton reads the speech that she would have given if she had won in 2016. She gets pretty choked up. It looks pretty genuine, by the way. And you don't get a lot of genuine reaction out of, well, any presidential candidate, especially Hillary Clinton. The actor who played Buzz in Home Alone says a McAllister reunion is in the works. You know, a couple of weeks ago, yeah, my daughter loves Home Alone. We all like Home Alone. And so Home Alone 2 was on right after the original Home Alone. So she started watching that, and she only made it about 15 minutes in and goes, "This is no good." I go, right. Sequels generally stink. You know, and I never try to miss a movie that has Donald Trump in it. And, you know, they shot that in the Plaza in New York, and that was his hotel at the time. I might still be, I'm not sure. And I guess they said, "Can we use your hotel?" He said, "Yeah, put me in the movie." Which, by the way, that's something I probably would have thought of. But, you know, come on, everybody. You caught lightning in a bottle on Home Alone. It was like the right movie at the right time with the right people. You had this adorable little kid in Macaulay Culkin. Great characters, great story, terrific direction. Speaking of Joe Pesci, he and Daniel Stern were so good in the whole thing. But it's over. It's over. You can't remake it. The sequels were awful. Macaulay Culkin is like 60 now. You can't make the movie with new people or with a new Kevin. You can't do it, okay? So just stop already. And to the actor who played Buzz in Home Alone, not sure anybody cares about a McAllister reunion, all right? Although I will say, the commercial that's been running during the football games on Sunday, where you get Catherine O'Hara, and she's walking through the store, and she yells, "Kevin!" like in the movie, and then it's Kevin Hart. All right, that was pretty funny. All right, birthdays today, Simon Helberg from Big Bang, 41. Jacob Dylan, he's a wallflower, you know, 52. Felicity Huffman, inmate number 77806-112, is 59. Donny Osmond, 64. John Malkovich, 68. Dick Butkith, 79. Beau Bridges, Jeff's brother, 80. Dame Judi Dench, 87. It was 56 years ago. Charlie Brown Christmas premiered on CBS for the first time, 1965. I don't think you could make that television show now because they, they quote scripture in the whole thing, and everybody would probably jump up and down and complain. But it's grandfathered in from 1965. And there are a few songs that I can hear for which I have more contempt than the Pina Colada song. I just want to punch Rupert Holmes in the throat and fracture his Adam's apple, okay? Well, in 1971, there was a song called Timothy by a one-hit wonder band called The Buoys. B-U-O-Y-S. It was a song about cannibalism. The song was written by one Mr. Rupert Holmes. I fucking knew it. That guy is bad news. I don't know how this got away from me. I was going to tell you about it, and then I forgot. And yesterday I was going through some stuff. I was like, oh gosh, that's right. I never did this. The National Toy Hall of Fame just announced the three toys that will be inducting this year. American Girl dolls, Risk, and Sand. They do this every year where something you would never describe to anybody as a toy ends up not only being nominated, not only being mentioned, but actually wins. There were nine other finalists. Sure, just put a bag of sand under the Christmas tree this year and just watch the children's eyes light up on Christmas morning. There were nine other finalists that didn't get enough votes from toy industry experts, historians, and the general public to make it into the Hall of Fame this year. They are Battleship, Billiards. Yeah, put sand in there, but not billiards. Cabbage Patch Kids, the Fisher-Price Corn Popper, Masters of the Universe Toys, the Pinata, the Settlers of Catan, is that right? I don't know what that is. And the Toy Fire Engine. Yeah, you wouldn't put a toy fire engine, something that little kids have been playing with for the last 150 years. All right, 100 years. We didn't have trucks before that. All right, they've been playing with them for 100 years. No, but let's get sand in there. It's like when they started up the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Everybody was like, oh, we got to get Laurie Anderson and Patti Smith in there. Right. Back to the Toy Hall of Fame. Last year's inductees, Jenga Sidewalk Chalk, Baby Nancy, which debuted in 1968, one of the first popular African-American dolls. Christmas Eve. 2 weeks from today, 30% of Americans say they're hosting holiday parties this month, and they'll spend about $760 on them. 65% of guests say they plan to bring gifts, including booze, baked goods, plants, or flowers. I knew nothing about this. There are 14 people that have seven physical keys. Actual keys, like, you know, for a door, but these control the main database behind the entire internet. And these people are spread around the world, and the keys are all in safe deposit boxes. It's almost 2022. The internet has been around for, what, 20 years? And it turns out the internet operates because somebody's walking around with a bunch of keys on their belt, like a janitor. I bet you the National Toy Hall of Fame doesn't know about this. The inventor of Tickle Me Elmo was once a Unabomber suspect. The FBI actually talked with him over the course of 6 months due to many coincidences that linked him to the Unabomber. He wasn't cleared until Ted Kaczynski was arrested. The Tickle Me Elmo guy. And I've talked about this. My high school girlfriend, Sue Cray, lived about maybe not even 2 miles from where Ted Kaczynski grew up. That's correct. I almost ended up going to high school with the Unabomber. Think about that for a minute. And as we get closer and closer to the actual Christmas day, you know, you got to start hiding presents. I got so mad at my oldest daughter 1 year when she was about, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years old. She got something sharp, like an X-Acto knife or something like that, and slit holes, just not holes, but she made incisions in the wrapping paper, thinking that I wouldn't notice, that I wouldn't see, so she could peek inside and see what the gifts were. So that was the end of that. I started hiding all the presents off sight. Fixed her wagon. In a new survey, 50% of people say they've hidden Christmas gifts all over the place, like bedroom closet, which is the first place the kids look, so don't put them there. There's a lot of people who have accumulated time off from work, and so they'll be smashing that up against the Christmas holiday so they can get extra time. And then a lot of businesses, basically, I don't want to say they shut down, but they really go into hibernation, I guess you would say, the week between Christmas and New Year's. If you've ever tried to do anything, to get any work done, track people down in other cities, and they say, I'm sorry, he's out until January 5th. So I mention this because a lot of people go traveling, a lot of people go traveling, and if you're going north or northwest, you better be on your toes. There's going to be a massive snowstorm, they are saying, Friday and Saturday. So tomorrow and Saturday, and this thing stretches from, well, I guess you would say up around Green Bay and up against the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And then now swing that down southwest through Omaha, Rapid City, all the way to Denver. They're talking about 12 plus inches of snow this weekend. Should be noted that the Bears and the Packers play in the Sunday night game on NBC. Looks like the storm will have already been through, but it looks like it could be very, very raw conditions. And of course, that's an open air stadium, and really, really open air. Not like open air where, okay, there's no roof on the place, but we have overhangs, we have covering. Not in Green Bay, you don't. It is an open bowl. And so what they do is they open up the gates of the place and they say, everybody come down to, you know, 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon with your snow shovels. And then they set up these chutes that go down the aisles and people shovel out the stadium. You push the snow all the way to the end of the aisle, and then you throw it onto the chute. The chute takes it all the way down to ground level, and then they truck it out. And I lived in Wisconsin for a while, and there's a lot of, shall we say, cheese-fed folks. You can't help but wonder how many heart attacks take place every year when the fans from the Packers show up there to shovel the place out after a major snowstorm. You wanted a white Christmas? Well, we're giving you a white 2 weeks before Christmas. And the CEO of American Airlines is going to retire in March. He leaves American $36 billion in debt. Well, you know, they've had to spend a lot of money on duct tape in recent years. All right, I'm done. J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, December 9th, 2021. 334 days remaining in our democratic political system, as we have noted. We're here every Monday through Friday. We publish at about 7 o'clock. It's absolutely free. We archive everything. You can binge if you need to. We do politics only when it's absolutely unavoidable. You can email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. On Facebook, we're at The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day. Back tomorrow morning with more Christmas stuff. Enjoy your day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.